title of the sermon, The Time Has Come to Hear His Voice. Would you kneel with me as we pray? Father in heaven, I want to thank you for all the parts of this service that sincerely have touched my heart, and I'm assuming and hoping everybody else's. How we felt you so close during that beautiful song, one of my favorite songs, during the anointing, during the scripture reading, during the hymns of praise today, Lord. Thank you for each person. And now, Father, as the message for the hour is shared from your heart to our heart, we pray we would be open to it. We would clearly see the issues at hand. And Lord, have the peace of heaven rest on this congregation. Do not let Satan in any way distract us. And then give us the courage to respond exactly the way we should, without hesitation. Use me in spite of me now, in Jesus' name. Amen. In his book entitled God's Psychiatry, Charles Allen tells this story. As the World War II drew to a close, Allied armies gathered up many hungry orphans. They were placed in camps where they were well fed. But despite the excellent care, they slept poorly. They seemed nervous and afraid. And finally, a psychologist came up with the solution. Each child was given a piece of bread to hold after he was put to bed. This particular piece of bread was just to be held and not eaten. The piece of bread produced wonderful results. The children went to bed knowing instinctively they would have food to eat the next day. That guarantee gave the children a restful and content sleep. So I suggest that we need to go to bed and to live with a piece of bread in our hand. I've got a couple questions I need to ask you as we look at this sermon, Time to Hear the Lord's Voice. How many times did God speak audibly to Jesus? Now stop, think. How many times does the Bible say that God spoke audibly to Jesus? How many times? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 6, 3. 3. Okay, you're stuck on 3, huh? Okay. 3 times God spoke out loud, audibly, to Jesus during his ministry on this earth. The first time when he spoke to him was, I've got another question for you. Whoops. When did he speak to Jesus in these 3 times? First, okay, at his baptism. When else? What? Second time. Okay. The Mount of Transfiguration. And the third time, of course, was already stated. In the temple, in the interview with the Greeks. What's the matter?
Nothing to matter. Could you ask if anybody knows how to sign for a deaf person.
Oh, does anybody know how to sign for a deaf person? Anybody? Anybody? Nobody. Elaine's not here. I can see that. Okay, I guess we don't. Oh. Big Joel or Little Joel? All right, Little Joel. How about that, folks? Bless your heart, son. Wow, I'd be so nervous. Okay, three times. By the way, I want you to stop and think. Jesus left heaven to come to this earth in our behalf. And all of a sudden, he no longer hears the Father's voice. Have you ever thought of that? 30 years of age, he started his ministry. He did not hear the voice of God. And when his baptism took place, what a joy that was to hear God speak audibly to him. And you remember exactly what he said. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, read it with me, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And I can't imagine the joy in Jesus' heart. I can't imagine the, when you get the chills up and down your spine. What a high moment for Christ at his baptism to have his Father say this. By the way, if you were baptized or are planning to be baptized, I want you to know that's exactly what you may hear in your ears, but even if you don't, that's what God is saying when you're baptized. "This is my beloved Son, this is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased." Now, the second time was on the Mount of Transfiguration. "And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying," read it with me, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." Matthew 17:5. And then the last time in which Jesus heard his voice is found in John, the 12th chapter, in verse 28. It's when the Greeks came to him and said, "We want to see Jesus." And it says, Jesus said, "Father, glorify your name." And then the voice came from heaven saying, read with me, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Now, folks, let me tell you something first before we move on from this. And that is this. I want you to see that when the Greeks came up to Jesus in the midst of all the doubting Seventh-day Adventist believers surrounding Christ, took a little liberty there, it inspired Jesus to say to the Father, "Father, glorify your name." Look at these men coming from a heathen country where they were raised in idolatry and they didn't know what we know. And here they come because they were drawn here by the Holy Spirit. "Glorify thy name." And God answered Jesus. The third and last time he spoke to him, he said that to him. Well, I got another question for you. How many times did God repeat, "in whom I am well pleased," in the Bible? How many times did God say, "in whom I am well pleased," to Jesus in the Bible? Somebody said two? Two? Three? Four? You guys are guessing? You know, I want to tell you something. This stuff comes when you read through your Bible. You know, every year in January, we ask everybody to read through their Bible. And then when you're done with that year, you get another version of the Bible, read through that one. And pretty soon you start picking these nuances up. Three times in the Bible, God said to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3:17, at his baptism. Matthew 12:18. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 12:18. Because I want you to know this one was a surprise to me, even though I read through my Bible. Matthew 12. Look what it says. You have verse 18? Come on, children, open your Bibles. Look what it says here. This is Jesus, is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. And then notice what, there's a quote from the book of Isaiah, verse 18. "Behold, my servant in whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is what? My soul is well pleased." In the book of Isaiah, God told Isaiah to write this. God was speaking about his servant who was Jesus. And here, Matthew repeats the quote in this setting three times in the Bible. And by the way, the third time, of course, was the Mount of Transfiguration. Number three. This should be number four. At the Mount of Transfiguration, what special command did God give us? Oh, you got it. I thought I could sneak one by you. Did you get the special command? But he wasn't talking to Jesus. Who was he talking to? "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Hear him. Are you hearing the voice of God? If you aren't, I want to tell you something. You might be and you didn't know it. But we need to be more intentional about this, folks. Take a look at John 3:34. We want to answer the question, why should we hear Jesus? We want to know, why should we hear Jesus? John 3:34. Look what the Bible says. That isn't the right one. Why isn't that the right one? Oh, I'm reading the wrong text? No. Well, let me just put it up there. You tell me where that text is. "For whom God has sent speaks" what? The Word of God. What verse is that? I can't find it. Okay, the words of God. Verse 34. "For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God." Yeah, I was right. Something's wrong with me. Jesus speaks the word of God. When we hear Jesus' words, we are hearing the word of God. And notice, from the Mount of Transfiguration, that's when Jesus was glorified. This was to prepare Jesus for the trial coming soon. He was given this beautiful message from God, but to you and I, he included, hear him. Peter, James, John were sitting right there. They heard the voice, and they understood the voice. And the voice said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." Why? Because Jesus speaks the Word of God. It is time we hear His voice. We have too many other voices entering our minds for too often and long during the day and the week. How much time do you spend on your computer? Are you watching pornography? Are you playing violent games? Are you watching TV? Are you a movie buff that you've now moved from PG because Walt Disney's too boring? And by the way, Walt Disney is the number one purveyor of spiritualism in the world, and that's the third deception in the last days. What are you listening to? You got these things in your ear all the time? And you drive around, you walk around, you're even with your friend listening. We got to hear God. Because we are in a crisis right now. It's getting worse and worse. Old folks with gray hair like me, our young people are being picked off one after another. And if we're not setting the right example, we're making it harder on them. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God. Take a look, if you would, at John the 6th chapter. This is a wonderful chapter. It's a long one. It's John 6 has a total of 71 verses. Take a look at John 6, verse 52. Now let me give you a little background as we look at this. First of all, he just finished feeding the 5,000. Probably there were 15,000. And then they decided to make him king, and he dismissed them. Just summarily, he dismissed them, which made many of them mad, including his disciples. He told them to get in a boat and get out of here, and you people go home. He went on the mountain to pray. Then he walks on the water. And he comes to his disciples, join them in the storm-tossed sea boat. It heals the storm. They get to the other side. The next day, everybody comes back where Jesus was, can't find him, so they make their way across the lake in various ways, and they find Jesus. And Jesus said, "You're not seeking me because you saw the miracle. You're seeking me because you want the benefit I can provide you." He spanked them. And then he launched it. And you know, of all things, folks, you got to read this. This is amazing. They said to him, "Well, what sign do you show us so that we know that you are who you say you are?" He just fed 15,000. He walked on the water. I mean, and they want a sign. Well, one of the reasons I read the Bible is because I at first think how dumb they are, and then the Spirit says, "Peter, you're just like them." And I go, "Mm-hmm." And then Jesus launches into an explanation. Look what he says. I cut it short in verse 52. We'll pick up the discussion. "The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' And then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last days. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." You know, he launched into this because twice prior to this, he said, "I am the bread of life." Oh, bread of life. Moses gave us bread for 40 years to our fathers. You just fed 15,000 people. I thought, that's enough. He said, no, it wasn't Moses who gave them bread. It was my father. And by the way, where are they? They're all dead. Whoever eats this bread and drinks this blood will not die. Will not die. How is that possible? By the way, before you get entangled in what the Jews accused him of when they asked that question, how do we eat his flesh and drink his blood? They were implying we're not cannibals. There are non-Christians who have read this and say it implies cannibal, be a cannibal. Eat the flesh of God, drink the blood. What kind of worship services do they have? And then our scripture reading read by Avery. Jesus said something very to the point. Look at verse 63. He sums it all up and he says this to them. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and are life. And so when he talked about eating the flesh and drinking the blood, he was referring to the fact that we must accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and our substitute from our sins and get to know him as a person. And Ellen White says, it would be wise to spend a thoughtful hour each day contemplating the life of Christ, especially the last scenes. The last scenes. By the way, instead of reading through my Bible, which was a very difficult decision to make, I'm reading through the Conflict of Ages series. I am now in the book Desire of Ages. I have only 4 chapters left and I'll be starting on Acts of the Apostles. I just finished reading Gethsemane, Calvary. It is finished in Joseph's tomb. And how, after reading that book repeatedly, did I miss so thoroughly how much my Savior suffered for me? How evil and dirty and wicked and fiendish they treated Christ. It's a wonder he didn't get up and say, I'm done with these people. I'm out of here. I'm going back to my Father. But he didn't, because he knew that I would be kaput if he gave up. And so he hung in there. I don't know, you should read those if you haven't read them in quite a while. I want you to see the depth to which God, Satan took Jesus and how horrible he was treated. It was just terrible. And so Jesus said to them on the shores, on the other side of the lake, in this discussion, the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I looked up the word spirit, it's pneumo. Pneumo, of course, you know, is breath. Pneumo is the spirit. It could be your spirit or the context. It could be the Holy Spirit. The words that God speaks to us are Holy Spirit. Here's how important this is. When God created Adam, he formed him from the dust of ground, and what did he do? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Every time you read your Bible, God is breathing life into our dead bodies. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We've got to break the habit, and all of us have them, of whatever it is that's taking most of your time, that secular, and replace it with more of God's Word. I don't mean walk around on your knees. We have to function in this world we live. But we don't have to imbibe our minds in the cultural activities that are racing through this planet. Why do you think there's so much violence? There's so much violence because our kids are sitting at home and playing games that are just wicked. Bloody guts, shoot, kill. And then some of us adults got into it. We got to hear God's voice. We got to let His voice block out all these other voices we're hearing. We're down to desperate times. We have no other choice. Either that or we will be overcome. We will be overcome by the world. And we won't be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So I want to share one of my very favorite texts with you. By the way, if you're a parent or a grandparent, if you've never read the book Education, you really missed something. That book is incredible. By the way, that's not child guidance, but that book will tell you how to be a parent. It'll tell you how our schools are supposed to be. It tells us how the parents and the teachers are to be, how to teach the children, how to love the children, the book Education. This is one of my very favorite quotes in the spirit of prophecy. The creative energy that called the worlds into existence is in what? The creative energy. And so what does society say? Evolution. Evolution, man, science has proven it. The Bible, that's just some old fairy tales by the fireside that some escaped slaves from Egypt put together in a compilation and someone was intelligent enough to write it out. And we are told from inspiration that the creative energy that called the worlds into existence from nothing is in the Word of God. We've got to study our Bible. Our prayer meeting should be packed. Why? Because we're this close to the second coming. We've got to take every opportunity we can to fill our hearts and minds with the things of God. We have our prayer times on Wednesday and occasionally we skip lunch and pray Sabbath. We had a prayer vigil all night long just asking you to give up 1 hour. And when it got to be about 2 o'clock, but I promise you, if that was the Super Bowl, you would have been there at 2 o'clock in the morning. You would have. We got to hear the Word of God. The Word of God, or the voice of God, I should say, is the words of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God, the Bible. And when He speaks the Father's Word. And we get the Spirit, and we get the life. And so, my friends, go to your knees, talk to the Lord about this subject. See what He says to you. Because we are down to crunch time. And more than anything else in the world, we need to know who Jesus Christ is and what He has done for us. In His best-selling book called Into Thin Air, John Krauthauer related the hazards that plagued some climbers as they attempted to reach the summit of Mount Everest. Andy Harris, one of the expedition leaders, stayed at the peak too long, and on his descent he became in dire need of oxygen. Harris radioed the base camp and told them about his predicament. He mentioned that he had come across a cache of oxygen canisters left by the other climbers, but they were empty. The climbers who had already passed the canisters on their own descent knew they were not empty. They were full. They pleaded with him on the radio to make use of them, but it was to no avail. Harris was starved for oxygen, but he continued to argue that the canisters were empty. The problem was that the lack of what he needed had so disoriented his mind, he thought he was surrounded by something that would give him life. He continued to complain of its absence. The lack of oxygen had ravaged his capacity to recognize what was right in front of him. And friends, they never found his body. And so now every night when we go to bed, let's hold a piece of bread in our hand, the Bible. Let's have it in our hand. We're less likely to put something else in our hand that we probably shouldn't have in our hand. Because we don't want to be surrounded by oxygen that exists to save our lives, but yet we refuse to believe it, to practice it, and we end up disappearing and no one found his body. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for each and every person who's come providentially this morning, including me. And we need more of your word. And we pray that you gift us with the ability and discernment to strike a balance between the world and what it offers, Lord, and your Bible and what we need. And that you would give us the victory over those things that should never be included in our lives, in our minds, in our mouths, in our hearts, in our ears, in our nose, and in our hands. But instead, Father in heaven, we would have the very words of God in our minds. I want you to bless each person who's come here, whatever struggles they may be facing. I want you to tell them there's hope for you. I want you to help them not to despair. But as we've been hearing over and over again, don't give up. And so, help us to make a decision before we leave, Lord. And thank you that in spite of all the pain and agony you went through, you haven't quit working for us yet. 24/7, Lord, that's a real commitment. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.